1-800-636-1067 is the number. You tweet at me as well. It is at N-E-L-L underscore. BTP, you're tapped into the youngest in charge, and O. Willingham, taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight. I got Mike Hughes in the chat on YouTube. A couple of different things that he had to say. I want to read a couple of his comments before we get back to the stock report. Mike Hughes says, it's a little late in the preseason, and AP might as well see who gets cut. But Tyler Boyd, okay, Mike, Tyler Boyd he is available. Was a legit wide receiver three for a long time and still a free agent. I believe he is. Thought I saw him sign somewhere, though. Maybe I was thinking of Tyler Lockett, who is in Tennessee. Guys who might get cut, who AP could bring in, Kendrick Bourne, Romeo Doubs, Bryson Tremaine, Justin Watson. He says, if Sinnott is ready to play tight end, could see him and Bates at tight end. Ertz has a big slot. Ooh. Mike, that's interesting. Because I think the one thing that people maybe sleep on a little bit is the best way that I could put it. Just how impactful Zach Ertz is going to be in this passing attack. He has had a tremendous camp. Tremendous camp. And I think, wow. We keep asking folks like, well, how can we keep asking folks like, how can we supplement whatever, shortcomings you may have a wide receiver. Using Ertz as a big slot is definitely interesting, especially if Sinnott is ready to take that next step. Sinnott had a really nice block on a couple of the plays Monday night, man. He actually showed really well for himself last year as a blocker, so not surprised at all that Ben Sinnott has continued to ascend as a blocker here, but I don't know, man. It's interesting to me. Our guy B-Town Bones 21 says, AP really focused on making both sides of the line super deep. That's what the best teams do. I think to that point, B-Town Bones, to that point, brother, I really feel like it's a situation where when you walk out onto this practice field, you could tell, like, this is the Commanders. They have a type now. You know what I'm saying? And being big and massive is a part of that, type, if you pick up what I'm putting down, man. They clearly got a certain type of dude that they're trying to go after. Positional size is a thing for them. I think they got bigger up front along the offensive line. I think they got bigger up front along the defensive line with Dietrich Wise and Javon Kinlaw, so on and so forth. So I definitely agree, man. Like, making both sides of the line of scrimmage super deep is interesting. I'll take it a step further in terms of the depth. When Brandon Coleman, when this group is fully healthy, right? When this group is fully healthy is how I put it. When it's Tunsil at tackle, it's Coleman at left guard, it's Biadasz at center, it's Cosme at right guard, and then it's either Connolly Jr. or Wiley at right tackle. The depth of that unit, ooh-wee, they got two or three dogs off the bench that come in and be contributors for other teams. So I definitely think that that is, a point of emphasis for this group, and especially up front along the offensive line. When you have the asset that is Jaden Daniels, it'd be pretty irresponsible to not beef up the trenches and make sure that he's got the ability to stand upright for 17, hopefully this week, 20 weeks at a time. 1-800-636-1067. If you've got any Commanders that, you're excited about coming out of training camp, we want to hear you. Also taking your calls on if there are any Commanders that you're a little bit underwhelmed by. You're not hearing enough about these guys as we get geared up for camp. 1-800-636-1067. I got Tay Wilson, Tay W. In the chat says, Ertz got the fountain of youth juice. You damn right, man. And I'll say this too, taking a step further, Tay. He looks even better this year. Even better, which is crazy, right? Because you think about what he was able to do. Last year, to me, the thing that stood out the most were Ertzy. Last year is like, bro, just gets it. Understands leverage. Understands body positioning. And Jaden, as accurate as he is, man, that's his number one trait, right? Ball placement, accuracy. As soon as Zach Ertz has a guy boxed out or has the guy on his backside, so to speak, you saw the impact in the red zone. You saw the impact converting third downs and moving the sticks. I'll tell you what, right? So they move into this new chain gang technology this year. And it got me thinking about last year. Zach Ertz against Pittsburgh getting absolutely robbed, and we should have won that football game. But the refs kind of screwed us over with the Ertz spot. But, you know, to your point, like, Ertz is definitely a guy. Yeah, B-Town Ball. So that's something I've been talking about a lot throughout camp is Revo, man, being that third safety, and he's gotten that opportunity. He's continued to get that opportunity, and I think he is going to end up being this team's third safety once the regular season starts. I think they're going to play that three safety look more than people anticipate. Now, obviously, it's going to be something that is matchup dependent. In week one against the Giants, I don't know if you respect their passing attack enough for that to be a thing where you play it a lot, but, I mean, Revo, my dog, man. It's really, and I know this is kind of cliche. People say it all the time. If you could have 53 Revos on your team, you'd be lit. If you had 53 Jeremy Reeves on your team, you'd be bad, boy. I'm telling you. He just plays with tremendous instinct. And here's the other thing to me with Revo that's really stood out. Last year, right, he's coming off the ACL. I've told my ACL three times why I ended up hanging it up, and now I'm talking to y'all. That first year after you recover and you get cleared, like that first season you back, like you're not yourself. You don't have the juice that that you're looking for. And I think for Reeves, I was so excited that he came into this offseason healthy. So now it's about getting the speed back and getting quicker and things of that nature. His football instincts, I think, is what really sets him apart. And you can watch it when you're watching him play. His play recognition and the ability to see it and go, wham, whatever he sees it, he takes off. Like that stuff, that comes from film study and preparation and just knowing what you're seeing. And also, he's gotten a little bit faster because he's healthier now. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. I appreciate you all typing in the chat, man. Try and get with me. Your calls, we're taking them on this. I almost had a brain fart for a second. We're taking your calls on this. Commanders wrapped up training camp today. Who are you most excited about as we get geared up for the regular season? And then who do you want to hear a little bit more from as we get geared up for the start of the regular season? 1-800-636-1067. Bargov out in G-Bird wants to chime in. What's going on?
Yo, what's going on, Liddell?
What's going
Thanks
on,
for having me
brother?
On.
How you doing, man? Good to hear from you.
What up, what up? Yeah, doing well, doing well. Yeah, one guy I'm just a little bit concerned about is Marshon Lattimore. Yeah, I know he was hurt last season and whatnot. It's just the nature of that position, man, and how difficult, high degree of difficulty cornerback is. I mean, it's a nightmare. These wide receivers you're playing week in and week out, the schemes these teams run and just how efficient their offense is, the way it's officiated a little bit too, it's just a really tough position. And I think with all the injuries that he's had with, you know, on that hamstring and whatnot, I'm concerned, man. I'm concerned because our pass D was pretty rough last year and, you know, only way is up, hopefully. But, yeah, we're really going to need that to be much better to compete at the highest levels. So that's what I'm a little concerned about.
I totally agree with you. I'll chime on that in a second. What are you most excited about, I guess, coming out of campus? We try to brighten the mood toward the end of the call here.
Yeah, the physicality, you know, to echo what you're saying, I think just getting bigger and stronger, you know, O-line, D-line. You look at the best teams that we played, you know, Bucks, Eagles, look at the monsters they have on both lines. I think the overall physicality is what I'm most excited about. Maybe it's not one guy in particular. Obviously, easy answer is JD season two.
Sure.
I mean, the guy is just, sublime. But, yeah, outside of JD, you know, for sure, the physicality. And just year two of the culture, man. Hopefully we get the compound interest with the culture. And I think we'll be in good shape.
For sure. Hey, I appreciate the call as always, man. 1-800-636-0 the rest of your night. 1-800-636-1067. Read a couple more comments in the chat. B-Town Bones. Just got. I'm gonna read B-Town Bones joint, but Lawrence Jones, you must be a fan of the man they call Richard Doc Walker. Lawrence Jones gonna type in the chat. What's the Twitter handle? Do you ever give it out during the show? Yes, I blame you too, cause you're with him on weekends when he's pumping out my handle 40, 50 times a damn show.
I do think you gotta get rid of the underscore. It's a little silly.
1-800-636-1067. Let's get to some more calls here. B-Town Bone says, Logan keeps talking about how you can feel the D's presence in a different way this year. Communication much better in the secondary. I definitely agree with that as well. It's a group to me. Talking about the secondary, I'm still wondering like what it is and what it ain't with that group. Because if we're being real, they have not been tested this offseason. Going up against our guys, you're not getting tested. The joint practice in New England, I heard it was a mixed bag. And then you didn't play Monday, or you didn't play rather against New England on Friday night. Then Monday, you were without Trey Amos, and Marshawn Lattimore didn't, you know, play sparingly. So it's one of those tough situations. 1-800-636-1067. Anthony's in DC. Wants to chime in. What's going on, Ant?
Yo, man, forget the subject. I'm just calling. I just took a chance just to see if you were on here, and here you are.
Man, come on, man. You know how I get down, man.
Tell them people to give you that job. You know what I'm talking about.
Hey, man, I appreciate your support as always. What you got, though, man? Who are you excited about?
I didn't even call for that. I just called for that one purpose. Damn the subject. I just called for that one purpose.
Well, there we go. And I appreciate the call. And
he's a hype man.
And the support, as always. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. If I'm being real here, I guess I haven't technically answered the question with you all. The guy that I'm most excited about coming out of camp, it's tough for me. The guy that I'm most excited about coming out of camp, there's so many different guys. Super excited about Debo. Obviously excited about the quarterback. Bill Merritt's obviously got people in a lather. Trey Amos has been first team all Ashburn. You know who I'm most excited about coming out of camp, man? Southeast DC stand up. My man rode the Metro bus to Kenilworth Avenue Monday before the game. Javon Kinlaw, the guy I am most excited about coming out of training camp. You felt his strength and his impact on Monday in that preseason game against Cincinnati. You can't tell me you didn't feel it. You can't tell me you didn't feel it. So, like, Kinlaw's my guy. That's who I'm most excited about. And to me, in terms of, like, the real question mark with this team, talking about the run defense, the way I seen him knock guards back on Monday night, when you got that type of play strength, man, is up. 1-800-636-1067. Dizzy Spider 45 tweets at me and says, who do you think killed JonBenet Ramsey? who is that?
Oh, she was like a child performer, did beauty pageants.
Man, Chris,
as a little
kid.
Chris,
you know everything, brother.
Well, there's a lot of like documentaries and stuff about her. It was a big dude. So you probably weren't old enough to remember this. It was one of those like, you know, cases that was all over TV because she was this like little, I don't know, she's like 7 or 8 or something. They had her in all these beauty pageants. Her parents did, and then she ended up, they found her like murdered in her parents' basement one night. And it was, like,
I get steamed up.
They came from like a rich family in like, I don't know, like Boulder, Colorado or something like that. And then everyone, like some people think the parents did it, and then some people think like an intruder did. I don't know. There's a bunch of theories about it. I don't know. I'm not an investigator. But there was, it was a big, you know, just kind of like the O.J. Simpson thing or something. It was all over the media at the time. It was just one of those big cases that, like, grabbed everybody. So,
okay, Dizzy Spider 45. I dig it. I get steamed up for a murder doc.
Yeah, I love that stuff, too. So.
I mean, I like to,
it's a very sad story. Don't get me wrong.
I like to usually watch my murder docs with a female companion next to me. But you know how that gets down. Ryan is in Arlington. Wants to chime in. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, Linnell?
What's going on, brother?
Always like hearing your voice on the late night shows here.
That's indeed, man. Appreciate you.
So I'm going to stick to the wide receiver room, man. I think something that I'm disappointed about coming into this season was Luke McCaffrey. But now that we drafted Jalen Lane and I've had some highlights in training camp, I love what I saw from him on Monday. I think he's got the speed. I think he's got flashed the hands. And I think he's kind of in a position where we're not relying on him right away to, you know, expectations aren't really over at the top. He can just come in here and do his thing. And I think with his speed and his hands, come midseason, that kid's going to be making plays.
I pick up what you're putting down for sure. And I'll say this, man. I think – I don't want to say there's pressure on – or that there's no pressure on him, but I think, like, they expect him to contribute early and often, not because there's pressure, but because the kid can play. So I think it was a good draft pick. The measurables kind of speak for themselves when it comes to Jalen Lane. And then I think over these two preseason games, you've seen him stand out just a little bit. Ryan, I appreciate you chiming in as always, man. Enjoy the rest of your night, brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will wrap up my Commander's stock report. Then we'll get to my conversation with former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson. That coming up as we ease our way out of the 9 o'clock hour here on The Fan. Is the number. You can tweet at me as well. Excuse me. Is that N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham with it for about another hour and a half as we take you up to 11 o'clock here tonight on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. Still to come in the show, Logan Paulson going to stop by. Dan Graziano going to stop by. We'll let you hear my conversation with Commanders assistant D-line coach Sharif Floyd as we inch our way towards cutdown day here for the Washington Commanders. 1-800-636-1067. Your guy you're most excited about coming out of camp, who you need to hear a little bit more from as we get geared up for the regular season. Let's continue our Commanders stock report. And we left up on a stock down. So we're going to start with a stock up. Will Harris. And those of you that listen to me regularly here on The Fan, you know I had my doubts, I had my reservations about just how good Will Harris was. I even said that I'd start Jeremy Reeves opposite Quan Martin. Now, what I always say to you all, man, especially during a football season when you can be wrong and then you can change your mind. I'm a man first. So when I'm wrong, I'll tell you I'm wrong. I was totally wrong on Will Harris. He, to me, has been one of the biggest bright spots of training camp for the Washington Commanders in terms of what he has brought to this group on a practice-in, practice-out basis, man. He is consistent. Him and Zach Ertz in the battle that they have had throughout camp, ooh-wee. Good on good, man. That's what you love to see, you know, when you're in training camp. And, you know, at this point, man, you want to see good on good as much as possible, man. So, yeah, like, it's to me one of those situations where it's like, man, I didn't know what to think. Honestly, I didn't know what to think because he's bounced around a little bit. He was in Detroit with Lance Newmark. And last year he was in New Orleans with the Saints. Talking to people around the league, you know he takes pride in putting his face mask on, folks. He is not ducking any sort of smoke. But I knew he would do that. I think the coverage stuff has been what's surprised me the most and what's really stood out to me the most. Like I said, him and Zach get the better of each other every other day out at practice. You all saw it, though, Monday Night Football, that play on the goal line. Him, I mean, just textbook coverage, hand on the hip to where the ref can't see it, and then he extends that left arm and gets the pass breakup, preventing a touchdown. Like, it's stuff like that where I think, man, Shorty can roll. He can roll. And the other thing is this, right? I'll give you all numbers on this all the time. The Commanders last year blitzed at the sixth highest rate in the National Football League. And that's, you know, despite them really not being comfortable in their personnel in terms of playing man coverage. Think about this, right? Say you got five DBs on the field. You can go man-to-man coverage across the board because Will Harris can play man. Quan Martin can play man. Quan Martin's a converted slot corner. Think about where Ron had him playing a year when he was a slot. He can play man-to-man. We know Marshawn can play man-to-man. We know that Trey Amos can play man-to-man. Like, it's a lot to me that makes sense in terms of, like, what they're going to do this year. When you think about defensively, like, the principles that they live by in Dallas, like, they want to play man-to-man. They want to blitz. They want to, you know, get pressure on a quarterback. Last year they lived that way, blitzing at the sixth highest rate, but they're blitzing without guys that they're comfortable with playing man. You now you know, insert those guys into the fold and you think about what the thought process is going to be, wouldn't surprise me if Washington blitzed at the highest rate in the NFL next year. I know Brian Flores is never going to try and relinquish that title, but seems like Washington and company could be doing just that. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end and the co-host of the Take Command podcast, brought to you by FanDuel. He joins us next. Right now, I want to go out to the guest hotline for the first time this show. We find our pal Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end and co-host of the Take Command podcast, brought to you by FanDuel. Logan, normally when I bring you on shows, I kind of just leave it at that. But now the folks can find you on the X app. Made his debut on Twitter last weekend. You can follow Logan on the X app at Logan Paulson NFL. Look at you, big fella. What's going on, baby?
Appreciate you having me on, Allen. As always, thanks for the kind words.
For sure, man. Obviously, we want to pick your brain about what stood out to you from Monday night in this second preseason game for the Washington Commanders. One thing that Dan Quinn spoke about this afternoon was the added emphasis on the gap running scheme for the Commanders. Did you see a little bit of that on Monday night, and then what stood out from that standpoint?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that really jumps to the forefront for me as well. Obviously, schematically, like, that's something you could tell in the in the New England game, they hadn't really done any game plan stuff. And you think about the runs last year that were really effective for them. You get the GTs, you got your counters, you got your traps, you got your whams, you got your bounces. Those are all variations of gap scheme runs. So it was nice to kind of see them dip into the bag a little bit and start running stuff that they've run and been successful with. So absolutely love that. Love to see the backs getting downhill, being physical. Love to see the offensive line kind of the way they've built it. You know, you got these guys that are pretty big, kind of mauling body types up front, but they can move around a little bit and create some space at the second level. So I totally agree with Dan. Nice to see them start to do, kind of getting back to some of the stuff they did last year, which is always great to see.
You talked about guys being able to get out in space, and I think, Logan, you can attest to this being, you know, a former NFL tight end here. It's not when it comes to these runs hitting, it's not always about having those de-cleating type of blocks where you're putting a guy on his backside. Sometimes it's just about getting in the way and letting that running back run off of your backside. One guy that stood out to me, really dating back to when I first got to see him in the spring, Logan, when they came in for OTAs, there was a noticeable body type change for Chris Paul. And we've seen him at tackle. We've seen him at guard. I thought he looked really good getting out in space on Monday night. What have you seen from him, and what type of chance do you give him to make the final 53?
Yeah, man, I feel like he's everything maybe but a lock at this point. I feel like he's had a great spring, great summer. The preseason's gone really well for him. I think the thing that sticks out, you mentioned the body composition change, but to me it's always been his power and strength. Like, when he gets hands on people, grown men, NFL defensive linemen who are some of the biggest athletes on the planet, they just stop moving. And I'm not being hyperbolic with that. Like, his grip strength is tremendous. And now to see him kind of couple that with some really solid movement skills, I think is the maturation we wanted to see from him at the position. So I think he's done a great job. I think he deserves to make the 53. We'll see what happens. But, you know, as of right now, just watching his production, I'm not sure how he doesn't make it.
Yeah, I love his versatility. John Allen, back in the day when Chris Paul was a rookie, sang his praises about the grip strength. And once he gets his hands on you, it's kind of over with. So to see that continue to grow and him had other layers to his game, I think it's really fun to watch. To me, Logan, I said the unsung hero of training camp for the Washington Commanders is Andrew Wiley, man. You want to talk about a guy who has flipped the script in terms of the narrative surrounding him when he first got here to the nation's capital to now. Started at left tackle on Monday night, Logan. Like, when he first got here, I don't think people thought that was something he was capable of. He's played inside at guard. Today he got first-team reps at right tackle. How impressed have you been with him, and what do you think is the next step of his game, and how reliable do you think he's going to be for this group?
I mean, I've always been a big fan of Wiley. Again, is he a top, you know, 20 tackle in the NFL? I'm not sure. But does he give you a starting caliber guy with a ton of experience and the position flexibility that allows you, especially when he's in kind of an auxiliary role, gives you so much peace of mind?
Yeah.
Like, he is a starting caliber guard. He's a starting caliber tackle. And now he can kind of be a little bit of Mercari up in Baltimore. A guy that could play any spot on the offensive line, and you don't really lose anything in terms of you know, the drop off from the starter to Wiley. So I think it's a great resource. I think it was great roster building. I think you talk about Adam Peters building this team, and I just have been incredibly impressed with what he's been able to do in terms of, hey, we're bringing in Laremy Tunsil, we're moving Brandon Coleman inside, and all of a sudden we get this tremendous flexibility with Wiley and also Alec Redding. So I think it's just that group has become really interesting and very, very deep, kind of in the blink of an eye. Yeah. And it feels like it just happened overnight, but it's important to remember the work that Adam Peters put in on it.
For sure. And I think the depth is really what gets me excited about that group as well. Dan Quinn continuing to hold out hope that maybe, just maybe, Sam Cosmi does not have to start on the PUP list and will be on this 53. So that gives you a little bit of hope and optimism as well as we creep up here towards the start of the regular season. On the defensive side of the football, Logan, I actually saw some of your tweets, and I agree with you, of course. I still feel like as we get geared up for the start of the regular season, I still have a little bit of questions about the run defense. I think the fits in the first two games have been a little off at times. But it's what you expect when you've got, you know, interchanging parts at the linebacker position. Bobby Wagner hasn't played the snap yet. So in terms of getting guys lined up properly and being in their gap, that's going to be a work in progress. But I've always felt like, and I've said this to you several times throughout the offseason, they've got to earn the right to rush the passer. This is a good pass rush unit last year. I just don't think they got enough opportunities, I guess. With Dorrance Armstrong and what you've seen from him throughout camp, one thing that stood out to me the other night, when Dietrich Wise gets the sack, they're lining up D.A. standing up outside shade of the guard, and you just see how quickly he's able to win with speed and bend. How often do you think they'll be able to get to those exotic fronts this year, and what's your confidence that this run defense actually is improved?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at DA, like, he's a great example of a guy who's had a tremendous training camp. But I think, you know, you talk about guys who maybe had the best training camps of anybody on the team, like, he's got to be in the conversation, him and probably Trey Amos. And so I love what they've been able to do in terms of kind of maximizing his skill set to be able to line up inside and outside. And again, like, it's his ability to win over a guard. I don't know if it's his bend, the violent hands. It's just tremendous. And so, like, you saw a little clip of that yesterday, obviously, or a couple of days ago in the Cincinnati game. And so, you know, like you said, you got to earn the right to rush the passer. And the one thing I will say, like, I agree with you, some of the fits are a little bit loose. You know, obviously the New England game, you got to kind of throw it out because those are all kind of backup players playing. But you see the physicality of the front, physicality of Dietrich Wise. You feel his size. Javon Kinlaw, man, like, that dude is an absolute man-child. Daron Payne also, like, loving what we're seeing from him. And then I think Doris Armstrong is a run defender. He's kind of sneaky underrated. And then you get guys like Holmes and Farrell popping in and making plays as run defenders as well. So I do think the physicality, the mindset feels completely different with that group, which is exciting. And I think it's a testament to kind of your perspective. Like, you need to stop the run. I think Adam Peters is aware of that. I think Joe Wood Jr. is aware of it. Because the more I watch them on third down, the more I kind of am like, this is going to be a dangerous group to deal with if they can get to these third long passing situations.
That is going to be the key. You know, can they, you know, have success stopping the run on these early downs? We're joined right now on the guest hotline by former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson. You can check him out on the Take Command podcast, brought to you by FanDuel. This new co-host, Grant Paulson. You can download that wherever you get your podcast or on YouTube as well. One other guy that just stood out from day one, and when you think about all the noise surrounding him entering camp, I just feel good for the young man that he's been able to ball out here. Deebo Samuel, Logan, each and every day out at camp, making a big-time play with Jayden Daniels. And the thing that's kind of surprised me, I guess, Logan, is most of the splash plays that Deebo has made in camp, Logan, has come as a traditional wide receiver. Now, obviously, you see it Monday night, first play from scrimmage. It's a jet sweep. What are you kind of expecting for him in terms of touches early on in the season? Do you think he's a guy that, you know, maybe just maybe this offense will feature and go through?
Yeah, so I think I'm really glad you brought that up, the pass-catching element, because I think people think, oh, he's this gadget player, and he is. That's where his superpower lies, and his ability to kind of maximize any time the ball is in his hands. However, I do think, like, when you go back and watch his explosive play rear from last year in 2023, like, he can play receiver. He's running deep digs. Right. He's running seam. He's running wide and fade. He's running underneath slants. He's got a little choice route to his game. So, like, don't get it twisted. It's just, I think, to maximize him, I think people, that's what they're pointing out, is that you don't want to just stick him out at X receiver because you're not getting the most out of him. And I think, so that's where you see the jet sweeps. You see some of the designed, you know, receiver runs that he gets, the screen game, all that kind of stuff. And I think that's what they're talking about. He can still play receiver. It's just not you're not getting the best version of him. And so I think that, like, in terms of usage,
yeah,
I expect Kliff to use him as a base wide receiver, probably a running back, jet sweep gadget guy, and I think you get a really dynamic playmaker that plays the game with the right kind of physical mindset.
You mentioned him being used as a running back. You see him get a touch on the first play from scrimmage. This running back room, this running game in general, has a little bit of a different look when Brian Robinson Jr. is not going to be in there, and all signs point towards him being somewhere else by the end of cutdown day in the regular season opener. In terms of how you expect the carries to be divvied out, do you think this is a game plan specific thing, or do you think it'll be one guy that is the feature back here?
I mean, I kind of think when you look at their skill sets, they all kind of complement each other so well. And if I was coaching this group, I'd say, yeah, man, let's find, like, depending on the type of touch, you know, Dan talked about the gap scheme run game, and, like, you saw how effectively Reeves did that with Square getting downhill. And then I think you look at, Bill Krosky Marin, his ability to kind of accelerate, set up blocks, and kind of have this natural runner's instinct. Like, there's going to be games where C-Rod's going to be hot. There's going to be games where Bill's going to be hot. There's going to be games where Jeremy McNichol's going to be hot. So I think, like, having the three-headed monster back there is going to be great. And then you have Austin Ekeler, who I think is going to be more of a mainstay feature of this offense. He's going to get touches on screen, game plan touches, screens, choice routes, one-on-one in the pass game. I think he can maximize those. But in terms of actual touching the ball from the backfield, I think you're going to see a lot of those other guys. And like someone said, is there going to be a 1,000-yard rusher out of this group? I don't think so, because they're all going to kind of cannibalize touches from each other. But I think that's a good thing, because you're never going to run cold at the position.
I was thinking about you while watching the game on Monday night, big fella. I can only imagine how much of a sweat you worked up as John Bates is out there whipping ass on the perimeter. Just a really, really strong camp from him, followed it up with a really good preseason game on Monday night. How excited are you for him this year? And then, you know, tell the listening audience who maybe are not football junkies like ourselves, like, just how important he is to what they want to do in the run game.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's so nice that he's getting some burn in the public eye at the moment, because he is, his skill set is often unheralded, but it's also very important, right? Like, when you have a guy, like right now, a great example is the Miami Dolphins. I was just listening to something The Athletic put out. And, you know, their tight ends are not doing well in the run game. They can't run the foot, attack the guy at the point doing their job. And, again, it is a tough job. It's a challenging job. And I think it just speaks to how special it is to have a guy like John Bates, a guy you can line up with a defensive end and say, hey, we trust you to win this matchup, right? You see him on the GT blocking two. You see him on the GT prior, really blowing that dude off the ball. Yeah. So, again, like, it's a skill set that maximizes your offensive line, which is always a priority in terms of running the football. And it's a skill set that I think should be prioritized, because it's a tough blue-collar position. And when you hear Dan Quinn talk about, we want competitive, tough guys, like, John Bates is the epitome of a competitive, tough guy.
Definitely agree with you. Logan, one guy that really has exceeded two guys, really, that have exceeded expectations for me in terms of what they've done during camp and then how they've looked in the preseason, Will Harris and Jacob Martin, two free agent acquisitions. I know Martin was kind of the unheralded guy. I don't know if folks, had many expectations for him and even thought that he would make the roster, but clearly he's a part of this 53. And then Will Harris, I just wasn't sure what I was going to get from him. Probably one of my favorite parts of camp has just been watching him and Zach Ertz go back and forth each and every day. And then the pass breakup that he had in the red zone Monday night, man, he's just continued to flash. What have you seen from those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, Will Harris is maybe, outside of Kinlaw, maybe my favorite free agent acquisition on the defensive side of the football. Like, he's exceeded expectations, in my opinion. I knew he was a good football player watching him when he was in New Orleans, watching him in Detroit a couple of years ago. Like, he's competitive, he's tough, he's instinctive. But, like, to see his ability to cover, and we knew that there was an ability there. Like, you could see it on film. But he, again, he can match up. Him and Zach Ertz in camp battles have been tremendous, right? And Zach has been one of the more dominant players in this training camp. So he's been awesome. He gives you so much flexibility in the defensive back end. Like, we can play man coverage. He can be the big nickel. He can be a post player. You can disguise with him. And I just think that skill set's been tremendous. Then you talk about Jacob Martin, kind of a specialty pass rush guy. And it's cool to see some of those reps in the game against Cincinnati. You see that skill set come to life. So I think, I think Harris will have a more defined role early. He's more of a linchpin to the defense. But, when you see a pass rusher like Jacobs, like that's something you can't pass up on. And then it makes you more dynamic in those third down packages like we were talking about earlier.
I always love talking to you around this time of year because I know you were really, you know, going balls to the wall and trying to really figure it out going into that final preseason game as a guy that, you know, was able to carve out a pretty, you know, extensive NFL career. You weren't always a roster lock. Some guys that you'll have under the microscope and then the mentality of these guys going into this one. To lead you in real quick, because he stood out to me on Monday night and in the preseason opener, this kid Ali Kaho, man, is coming downhill whacking people.
Yeah, man, he's been really impressive to me because I didn't really know what to expect. Like, obviously, when they signed him as the UDFA, I went back and watched some UCLA tape, and, you know, Kay Medrano jumps out. Schlesinger, the guy that the Cleveland Browns drafted, jumps out. Some of their defensive linemen really popped, you know. And he's kind of the forgotten man there in the rotation. There's games where he doesn't play. So when he came in, I didn't really know what to expect. But you see a guy, honestly, who, like you said, like does the traditional linebacking things well, like get downhill, take on blocks, physical tackler. Again, is he the best space player of all time? Probably not. But that other stuff is done at a really high level. And you kind of say, well, man, like in a pinch, like could he play for this team? Absolutely. So as a guy that is kind of carving out a role for himself, showing that he can kind of handle some stuff, like in this third preseason game, I think finding a way to kind of show out on teams, saying there's a role for me on this roster. Jordan McGee starts the season on pump. Potentially there's a way for him to get there. But I agree, man. Like in terms of guys that have flashed that are down the roster guys, he's definitely got to be at the forefront of that list.
For sure. Logan, we appreciate you as always, man. Get some rest, watch some film. And I know you're getting ready for the preseason finale coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Linnell. Appreciate you having me on, buddy.
That is Logan Paulson. Make sure you check him out. Now on the X app, you can find our guy Logan Paulson at Logan Paulson NFL. You can also check him out co-hosting the Take Command podcast with a guy, Grant Paulson. That Take Command podcast brought to you by FanDuel. You can check it out wherever you get your podcast. Always love catching up with Logan Paulson. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Get you up to speed on some preseason action going on around the National Football League before we enter the final hour of power next. +1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It is a Thursday night edition of Overtime. We'll take you up to 11 o'clock. A lot more to get to coming up in the final hour of the program. We'll be joined by ESPN NFL Insider Dan Graziano. Also, we'll be joined by the assistant defensive line coach for your Washington Commanders, Sharif Floyd. He is going to join the program coming up in the final hour as well. I want to get you all hip to some preseason action as we take a quick spin around the National Football League preseason week number 3. Getting cracked off tonight, and Jackson Dart for the New York Giants. I mean, they're going to have a hell of a time keeping this young man off the field. Jackson Dart tonight, 6 of 12, 81 yards, and a touchdown. Jackson Dart, throughout the preseason, has been electric. I mean, honestly, he has been total baller, man. 32 of 47, 372 passing yards, 4 total touchdowns, no picks. It's just going to be hard to keep this dude off the field. And the more and more I think about it, man, I think for Dart, or for the Giants rather, like they have a conflict of interest, it feels like. Like ownership wants them to win as many games as possible. They want them to be competitive. And I totally get that. Right, because the last couple of years for the Giants, they have been not very good. But if you're Brian Daboll and company, you know winning games saves you your job, but also what could potentially save you your job is if Jackson Dart bowls out and shows clear-cut signs of being this team's franchise quarterback moving forward. And if you're in New York, like that to me, that to me is what's most important here. Figuring out what you got in Jackson Dart. It'd be damn near impossible for me to not hand things over to him. It's not like the gap between him and Russell Wilson's massive. It's not. And Jackson, throughout the preseason, We throw around the word aura a lot. My age demographic, dude. We throw around the word aura a ton. Jackson, darts, got aura. I hope that the Giants don't figure out their quarterback conundrum and that we can continue to have the clear-cut best quarterback in the NFC East. But Jackson Dart, man, if you were asleep on Jackson Dart, you better wake the hell up. He is coming for sure. Now, here's the dilemma that actually faces the New York Giants here. You can't ease Jackson Dart into the schedule. First four games for Washington, excuse me, for the Giants. I keep wanting to say Washington. They're in Washington week one. They're at Dallas week two. They play host to Kansas City on Sunday Night Football in week number three. They're home for the L.A. Chargers in week four, and they're at New Orleans in week five. Then you got a short week in Philadelphia, and then you're at Denver, then you're at Philly again. So they play Philly twice in the span of 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So in terms of like a soft landing spot for the debut of Jackson Dart, I don't know if you want to start him against that Broncos defense. Holy hell. But like I'm trying to look at maybe it is the opener against Washington and their spotty secondary. That may be the best soft landing for Jackson Dart to start here. Maybe it's Dallas in week two. I know it's not – his first start ain't going to be – maybe his first start is at home. Maybe you let Russell go get his face busted in on the road the first couple of weeks, and then you come home in prime time with a little extra time to prepare because you're on Sunday Night Football against Kansas City. That may be the way to go if you're the New York Giants. Final hour of power coming your way next here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. If you want to keep the convo going with me on social media, it is at NELL underscore BTP. They're showing the Jackson Dart highlights right now. Hot damn. Final hour of power coming up next here on Overtime.